at your neighbor and say, you're chosen.
You're chosen.
By God.
By God.
Amen. You're chosen. So turn your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8. And we just have a couple of short verses that we're going to look at today, but we're going to spend some time there to kind of further examine what we talked about last week. There was something very important that we discussed last week, but we didn't really dive into it like I want to get into it. So God laid it on my heart that we need to go a little deeper into those last statements of chapter 8 of Romans. So Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28, and then we'll end at verse 32. In this passage of scripture, we find something that could be deemed as very controversial in the body of Christ. It's one of those places where we have division in the body of Christ, because one set of people believe that this verse of scripture is saying one thing, and another set of people believe the other way. But none of them, regardless of what way you believe, really have that much to do with salvation. So you can be saved and still believe either way on these things. Amen?
Amen.
And it comes down to a matter of free will or predestination. But let's look at the scripture and then we'll get into it a little further. Romans 8, chapter 28. It begins where we discussed a little while ago. It said, and we know that all things work together for good for those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, actually just going to verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and to whom he justified, these he also glorified. The chosen ones. The chosen ones. In this passage of scripture, Paul is continuing on in teaching about the fact that we have been adopted into the family of God. That as we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we have been adopted, grafted in to God's heavenly family.
Amen.
Are you following? He says it in a few verses before. He said, we have not received the spirit of fear again, but we received the spirit of adoption by which we call out Abba, Father.
Amen.
Now Abba means dad.
Amen.
He said, we received the spirit of adoption. And when he talks about adoption, he's talking about the word actually means that a son has been placed into the family. And the son has been placed into the family in a way that he becomes a natural son.
Amen.
He's not a stepson. Are you following? When we get into the family of God, the first thing he usually does is change our name.
Amen.
As Abram, who became Abraham.
Amen.
Sarah, who became Sarah. Paul, Saul, who became Paul. Are you following me?
Yeah.
So he changes the name. So what he does is he places us into his family, out of the family that we used to be in, and into his family. So much so that we can now call out, we don't have to call him Father, we can call him Daddy. That's what Abba means.
Amen.
So now he's Daddy. Are you following me? So we've been placed into the family of God, and this is what Paul is trying to drive home in our minds, in our psyche, that we don't have to act like illegitimate children anymore. We don't have to act like, and I'll say it, bastard children, like bastards are children who have no father. We don't have to act like orphans left out to dry. We are in the family of God, so much so, he says, that we are heirs to inheritance. You know what inheritance is. That means when your mother or father go on, you get all their stuff. You understand? You know, and when you get adopted in, now you become a part of that inheritance. Now in the natural sense, it's like saying, well, we had two children, but we adopted one, so instead of splitting two ways, now we got split it three ways. The two aren't all that happy about having to split it three ways, Sister Francis. Are you close? You know, but that's not the way with God, because our God has to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. His riches and glory, that means that He's got enough for everybody. See, we got to get that. That means that if He blesses you, He still got room to bless me. And you don't have to get upset because it's not going to take away from your blessing. He don't take away your blessing to give it to somebody else. He says, I got more than enough.
That's why we sing the songs.
More than enough. So Paul is trying to drive home this point that we have been adopted into the family of God, and because of that, we are now inheritors of the promise. But the promise is not all good. But all good, all things work together for good. In fact, he said that now that we've been grafted into the family, the first thing we're going to have is suffering. The first thing we're going to have is some persecution. The first thing we're going to have, see, when you first get saved, you first get into the family, one thing God does is He starts to separate you from your old self. And the way He separates you from your old self is He separates you from other people.
That's right.
Because some people in your life aren't going on the journey that you want to go on. In Amos 3 and 3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So one thing He starts to do is He starts to separate you from the old crowd that you used to run with. He'll use your testimony to draw some of them in, but I have to tell you, it's going to draw some of them out.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, you're saved now, so you all holier than now. You're too good for us. Things like that. You don't want to hang out anymore. You think you're better than us. This is the type of suffering that we go through when we give our lives to Christ. Because we know we've been transformed out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And our passion is to bring folks into the light. But we have to come out of the darkness to do that. We can't leave people where we've never gone before. So as we go into the light, we're trying to pull people out of the dark, but some people like the dark. Some people want to stay in the dark. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired, but they're always sick and tired. Because that's their natural state. And if you're not careful, you'll get comfortable in dysfunction. Like two fleas in the jar. The man put the fleas in the jar, put the lid on the jar, and the fleas kept jumping up and bumping their heads. Jump up, bump their heads. After a while, the fleas gave up. One day, the man removed the lid from the jar, but the fleas weren't jumping anymore. They were comfortable where they were at. They stopped jumping. Are you following me? So you have people in your life that they stop jumping. They've given up. Amen. In life. But God wants to use you to bring them, but sometimes He has to separate you from them in order for Him. Come on now. He'll separate you from them, but do it for a season, Abram. Get out of your father's house. Abram, you're 675 years old. It's about time to get out of your father's house anyway. Some of you have said you got a 30-year-old at home. Abraham was 75 at home. You understand? So somebody has separated you. So what Paul says is you have this inheritance, but it includes suffering. But it goes on to say that the suffering of the present time do not compare to the glory of the latter time. He said there's better glory down the road, but right now you just got to go through some stuff. And like I always say, if you're going through hell, just don't stop. Just keep going through. Going through hell is a promise. But the promise is also that Hades won't prevail against you because you are God of God. Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Hallelujah.
Watch out, man. old Pentecostal Chuck will come out here. We are the chosen ones. But we're chosen to go through some stuff. Excuse me. First of all, the chosen ones are called. The Bible says that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called. Let's talk about this song. The phone rings, but not everyone answers.
Amen.
So the phone is always ringing, but not everyone answers the phone. In other words, God is always calling. Excuse me, God, I so pray for me. The devil is a lie. He doesn't want this word to get out. He really don't want you guys to hear what I have to say this morning. He don't want you to hear this deal with my voice all morning long. But he's going to press through. Amen. The phone is ringing. Not everyone answers. Jesus said in Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's talking about a perpetual knock. He doesn't knock and go away. He said, "I'm standing at the door and I'm continuing to knock." You know when folks come to the house and they knock at the door, you feel like I got to do it. These people, they didn't call ahead of time, so I'm not going to go. You know, we passed out a bunch of door knockers yesterday. One of our instructions was, you don't have to knock on the door, just put the door, you know, thing on the door and just keep moving. We don't want to disturb people, you know, so we want to be respectful and things like that. So, but sometimes somebody knock on the door and you're like, oh man, they want to sell me a vacuum or something. They want to tell me about the mother God. The mother God. You know, there was a mother God. No, there is not a mother God. You read your Bible, baby. Yes, yes. So, you know, you know, and then after a while they leave. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus said, man, I'm persistent. Jesus said, I'm still knocking. I'm going to keep knocking. He said, I stand at the door and knock. But not everybody opens the door. That's what this calling is about. Everyone is called, but only a few open the door. So when the Bible says that whom he foreknew, we understand that God already knew. Foreknowledge means that you know beforehand what's going to happen. So that's what this passage of scripture is simply stating, that God foreknew and then he predestined because he already knew who was going to say yes.
Amen.
You have to understand, God does not exist in time and space like we do. God can look down the channels of history throughout time and he can see that this person is going to reject me, this person is going to receive me. He already knows beforehand. Amen.
Amen?
So that's what this passage of scripture is really saying. There's two schools of thought that people usually lie on. There's the Armenian view, who was this Dutch pastor's name was Jacobus Arminius. And he said that this predestination thing was that it was based on our selection and God already knew. Amen? God already knew that we were going to choose him. But we basically have a free will to choose him. The other side of the view, which is probably more popular in name, but not in practice, is the Calvinistic point of view. Now, Calvin was a French reformer, and he said that no, that you are the elect of God because God chose you to be elect. He chose you to be saved. Which I don't necessarily agree with. And the reason why I don't necessarily agree with, and that's not what we teach, there's the scriptures in your notes that I want to point you to. The first is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Turn there in your Bibles. Let's look at that. 1 Timothy, you should be going to the right. You'll see Thessalonians, and then you'll hit 1 Timothy. 1 2 Thessalonians, then 1 Timothy. Verse 2. And then chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Look what it says. He says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Verse 4, "Who desires all men." All means what?
All.
"Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So that right there tells me that God desires for all men and women to be saved according to his scripture. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Keep going to your right. Hebrews, James, 2 Peter's coming up there. You see verse 9 of 2 Peter. Chapter 3, I'm sorry, did I say 2? Chapter 3, verse 9. And it says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us. That's mean he hadn't come back yet. He's waiting.
Amen.
Look what it says. That and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you following? So the heart of God is that all men should be saved. The heart of God is that all men should repent.
Amen.
And that none should perish. That means he's for everyone. So who's the chosen one? Look at your neighbor. Say, you are.
Amen.
You're chosen.
Amen.
You're called. Amen. You're chosen. You're one of the chosen ones. You should feel a little godly proud about that. Yes, I'm one of the chosen ones. Because you understand what God says about people. He told the Israelites in Deuteronomy, he said, listen, I didn't choose you because you were bringing number. I didn't choose you because you were all that in the bag of potato chips. I didn't choose you because you were so fine and some of wine. I didn't choose you because you were all that great. He said, I chose you because I love you. Come on now. I chose you because I love you. It's kind of like a husband saying to a wife, saying, baby, I chose you because I love you. Or a wife saying to the husband, I chose you because I love you. I didn't choose you because you were only available bachelor over the age of 35 with four children and three divorces. You understand? I chose you because I love you. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So he said, all are called, but not all answer the call. Matthew 22, we don't need to go there, but it tells the story where we get this idiom that we say, many are called, but the chosen are few. I think the Marines used that a while back as one of their slogans. Many are called, but the chosen are few. I want to say it like this. Many, all are called, but only a few choose. That's what it really comes down to. Everyone's called, but only a few choose. Jesus gives a parable in Matthew 22 of a man who's throwing a wedding banquet party for his son, and he sends out invitations to everybody. But everybody's busy. Everybody's got things to do. Some of them have legitimate reasons. Some say, you know, I just bought a piece of land. If you bought a piece of land, then you were given time off to go and get the land ready. Another guy said, hey, I just got married. You know what that means. Brother, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm going to be locked up. He said, I got a little couples ministry to tend to. I said, keep moving down.
Right.
He said, I got a new wife. We got to constantly say we got to spend some time together. So he said, listen, I don't have time. So all these folks, they say, I don't have time. So what does the man say? He said, listen, none of my friends, none of the folks that I was expecting to come, I got the names on the invitation, but we can erase their names if we need be. See, Jesus was giving a parable about speaking to the Jews who wouldn't accept the Christ. So he says, if they don't accept it, then this is what you need to do. Go out on the street and grab anybody that wants a hot meal. Go to the highways and byways, and whoever will accept the invitation, then you bring them in and let's have them. Are you following me? See, that's what God says. God says, listen, I'm not going to force myself upon anybody. I'm not that type of love.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not going to force myself on you. I'm not going to force you into any type of religious system or relationship with me. What I want to do, I want you to choose to come to the party. Are you following?
Amen.
You know, you ever have a party and invite somebody that really didn't want to be there? All they do is complain. The punch is too cold. The punch is too hot. It's what, man, woman, what? That's all they want to do. Some people, you take what you play, that's all they want to do is complain, and nobody's having a good time because the person wants to complain. Listen, we don't want those type of people.
Amen.
You understand? This is the same way about the church. Man, listen, if you got drugs in church, somebody said, I got a drug problem. I'm on a drug in the church this morning. See, that's good when you little, but as you grow older, you make your own decision. I don't want you to come against your own will. You need, you should come to church because you want to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So someone says, we're chosen. We all are chosen. We are called. It says, we all are called, but those who choose are few. The chosen ones are simply those who answer the call.
Amen.
You know, now we got phones that call ID, so you can see who's calling. So if anybody pull out your cell phone, just pull out your cell phone. You need a call right now. You need a call. You check, you know, you got the call ID, so you can check and see if you want to talk to the person that's calling.
Amen.
Well, guess what? Jesus is calling.
Amen.
What if you picked up your phone and everybody said, Jesus, that would mess you up. Call him, Lord. Call him. You know, he sends you text messages all the time.
That's right. Amen.
You get that in the car when you get on the road. Listen, so the chosen ones are called, but then he says another thing, that the chosen ones are justified. Romans 8:30 says, those whom he called, he also justified. The word justify is dikaio. It means to cause someone to be put in the proper or right relation with someone else. It means to put into right standing. Means to reconcile. Listen, the best illustration I can give you about what it means to be justified is if you were driving your car on the freeway, and let's say you got a heavy foot, and you got a lead foot, and you drive on the freeway, and the speed limit is about 65, but you do about 95. You understand? The cop pulls you over. You were speeding. The cop pulls you over, gives you a ticket, tells you to appear in court on such and such day. Time goes by. You go to court. You're there. You go before the judge. The judge says you were, this is what we found to be true. The officer is there, and he's verifying this, and you don't really have any defense against it. And the judge says, listen, you're going to have to pay a fine, and the fine is X amount of dollars. And then right when he says the fine is X amount of dollars, somebody stands up behind you and says, I'll pay the fine.
Amen.
That's what it means to be justified. Justified hadn't done it. Are you following me? That's what it means.
Amen.
It means that somebody steps up to pay the price of something that you owe. Now, you were speeding.
Yes.
You were guilty as charged.
Amen.
You owe that amount. But somebody stands up right in the nick of time and he says, I'll pay the amount. A total
Amen.
Stranger. Listen, you may not know him, but he knows you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may not know him, but he knows you. And he knows you so well, Deshaun. He knows you so well, he said that he's number the hairs on your head. Now, it would be an interesting feat to count the hairs on someone's head. If you were even able to do that, you have done something miraculous, something supernatural, to count the number of hairs on someone's head. But the Bible said not only did God count, he numbers them. He said, I know which one number 1,252 is. I know which number 30,686 is. I know which one is which. And to us, the hair could be something so insignificant.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
In the big scheme of things, things. Our hair is simply so, I mean, we move it all the time. You know, it's in the sink, it's all over. That, you know, a piece of hair, we just flick it off. God says, you are so valuable to me that I care about your hair. I know you not well. So before he steps up, he said, I know you. That means he knows all, every nook and cranny. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. But he still says, I'll get by. That's what it means to be justified. That whom is called, he's also justified. He paid. He's always a good price. Oh, my. Look at how Paul opens up the book of Ephesians. Turn it right there to the book of Ephesians. I love how he greets this church there in Ephesus because he points out all of these things right there in his introduction. Amen. Look, I want to get a letter like that one day from somebody. Amen. I know email and text messages is all good and everything, but look at how he opens up his letter. He says, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints of Ephesus, not the ain'ts in Ephesus, but the saints, he said, and the faithful in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's what you need to underline, in Christ. Just as he chose us in him. So we are in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. See, he's verifying right now that he chose us in him. Got to catch that. He didn't choose us in us. He chose us in him. Because see, when he got on that cross, he became that payment for our sin, and he justified us and reconciled us. So now every time God looks at us, he got to look through the lens of Jesus Christ. So he said he justified us, he chose us, not because of us, but he chose us because of him. He said, before the foundation of the world, before you were in your mother's womb, before your mother had a womb, before your mother was in her mother's womb, are you following? Before any of this came into existence, I already chose you. Because I don't exist in time and space. I don't get these atheists and these Darwin people that believe that we are accident. I look in the mirror and I say, man, this can't be no accident. Can you look in the mirror, young man, and say, yeah, I'm just accident. No, I'm a guy. Somebody had purpose to invent you, to create you, son. You know, like it's an accident. Your hair, the way you drink, all that stuff, God put that in you, young man.
Amen.
Don't let nobody tell you, oh, you're just an accident.
No.
Telling our kids that they come from a mess of ooze and they get mad when they act messy and oozy. That's foolishness.
Amen.
The Bible said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Woo! I mean, when we just throw some stuff together, it just goes to the trash. You can say, let me put this. I'll take this leg. You know, I used to, we, Jason knows what I'm talking about when I talk about He-Man dolls. Remember those He-Man dolls? He-Man was the master of the universe. He was this guy, so I'm just kind of trying to bring these young brothers into, you know, let them know what we used to do. But he had one identity, but then he pulled out his sword, and then he would say, by the power of Grayskull and all this stuff, and he would turn into somebody else. Amen. But they had a toy, and with the toy, what you could do with the toy, see, we were kind of bad as kids, and we didn't teach that everything. Yeah, and I'm glad my kids ain't here to hear this because I want them to try to. But with the He-Man dolls, what was really cool about them, you know, they had He-Man and he was like a Caucasian fella, and then it was Skeletor, he was purple, and then you had a Merman, he was green. So they all had different colors. So what we used to do is you could take the arms off and you switch the arms. And we just love to do that. I don't know why, but we just love to put the green arms on the white guy. And all that stuff. It's like, you know, I don't know, it's like mad scientist. I'm glad I grew out of that. That's crazy thing. But God doesn't just grab a piece from this person and a piece from that and just say, okay, here's this sloppy mess. No, no. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are designed for a purpose. Oh, my, my. You need to get that. You need to get that. So that's what Paul is kind of saying here. He said he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame. Oh, there it is. God calls us to be holy. The Bible says, same thing God says, that we're supposed to be holy. Because we are called, because we are chosen, now we have to live up to what we were called to. We were called to continue in the sin that we were in. We were called to live differently than what we used to live.
Amen.
That's his call. He said, all things work together for good for those who are called and those who love God. Well, the proof that you love God, Jesus tells you that if you love me, you keep my commandments. So if you are not a commandment keeper, then all things are just going to work out however they want to work out. God is not obligating himself to make all things work together for your good because you're not honoring him with your life.
That's right.
Can't just do what you want to do and say, yes, I'm saved. Yeah, anybody can mark down, I'm a Christian on the ballot form, but can you actually produce any type of fruit that would suggest such?
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Or are you like with Jesus? And this is Jesus talking. Jesus said, there's that many who love me with their lips, but they don't love me with their lives. They cry out to me with their lips, but I don't hear them. He said, I don't know them. Because he says, who are you? That's what he says. He said, they speak these things, they call out, Lord, Lord, with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Because if their hearts were on me, then out of the abundance of their hearts, the mouth speaks. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. See, your heart produces the evidence that you're in a relationship with God. You can't just say, yeah, I love God. Yeah, we know God loves you, but do you love God? What are you saying? Do you have any proof that you can prove as evidence to show that you actually love God? Do you keep any of his commandments? You don't love your brother who you can't see.
Yeah.
But you say you love me who you can't. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, how can you say you love God who you cannot see and not love your brother who you see every day?
Amen.
Amen.
Come out in the morning cursing your neighbors all the time. You know you love your neighbor, but you say you love me. Say if you love me, then prove it by loving others.
That's right.
Don't care what they look like, what they smell like,
right.
What they think, how they believe. Do you love them? I know that they said that they're atheists, but do you love them?
Yes. Amen.
Wow. So Paul is reiterating what he said in chapter 8 there in the book of Ephesus. He's saying we are being chosen, we've been predestined. Amen?
Amen?
So the chosen ones are called and the chosen ones are justified. But the thing I wanted to point out in that whole passage of Ephesus is how many times he points to God. He says in verse 4a, he says, in him. In verse 5, he says that he predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Amen. That means God chose us because he wanted to. And then he goes on in Ephesians 1:6, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and beloved. Look at your neighbor and say, you accepted and beloved. Because God said so. And all the promises of God are yea and amen. Whatever God says he's going to do, not only is he going to do it, it's already done.
Amen.
See, Paul is writing here, he's writing everything in past tense. He says, whom he called, he justified, past tense. Whom he called, he also glorified, past tense. But we haven't been glorified yet. You know why he's able to say he's been glorified? Because everything God says is already done. Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, Priest. He said it's already done. Everything that God said he's going to do is already done.
Amen.
All we have to do is stand on the promise.
Yeah.
That's all we do is stand on the word. He said he's going to deliver me, I'm standing on it. He said that I'm going to be prosperous and be in good health, I'm standing on it. He said that I'm going to heal it, he's going to heal me, I'm standing on it. Listen, I know I got a headache, but I believe I'm healed. It's not a mistake. You got without faith because you admit that you, listen, I'm having some sinus problems right now, but I believe I'm healed. That's just a statement of two realities. If one is going to overcome the other, depending on which one you give into. Amen. I believe I'm healed. Come on, now. Everything God said, he said all the promises of God, are yea and amen. That means that yes, take it to the bank.
Amen.
You can count on it. Amen. There ain't plenty in your account. Are you following me? Amen. Just don't start spending it until I say so. I still have to release the fund. See, I've already done it, but the thing that you don't understand is that since I know the end from the beginning, in fact, that's who I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So not only do I know the beginning of the end, I am the beginning of the end. Moses, who should I say that they sent me? Tell them I am sent me. So when God says I am, that means that I am already doing or already getting what you are waiting for. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, my. This is good stuff this morning. Say, I've already done it. You just got to stand on it. Because you have been called. Now the question is, not a matter of whether you got called, the question is, did you receive the call? Did you pick up the phone? When you saw the caller ID, did you ignore it? Did you say, I'll call back later? Or, some of us treat God like that. I'll call back later. You know, you always say you're scared when you're chirping. That's the most kind of comment. That's saying, I'll call back later. When you get scared, you go to church. Oh, who says that, right? I wouldn't say that kind of talk. You scared? Go to church? I wouldn't say that. Well, you know, everything's going good right now. I don't need to go to church. Really? So you think we all just in here doing bad? Everybody in here just sick and messed up, and that's the only reason we're here, because we're scared. No, we're here because we love to be in the fellowship of common believers. We love to be in the midst of those that are on the same road that we're on. And if we need, someone needs a hug, someone needs to give a hug. Are you following me? You see, that's the way these things work. That's what the fellowship is all about. Sometimes you come and you need a hug. Hey, I'm feeling down. I need to go to the place where I know love is. Are you following me? But some of us come to church and everything's okay. We're doing fine. Well, guess what? You're the hugger.
Yeah.
You don't come to church just to get stuff all the time. Sometimes you're the giver. Sometimes you're the blessing for somebody else.
Amen.
But some of you are always going out doing something. Everything's all right. When I need something, then I go. No, that's not what it's for. It's for that we all know. See, God knows that somebody on this side is going through some stuff that somebody on that side already been through.
Amen.
You understand? Amen. If we put them together, that divine connection takes place, and that person's able to read into it, discern what they're going through, and they're able to share what's going on. And then you can say, baby, that's what it brings the scripture to life. That all things work together for good for those who love God. So I'm here to tell you to keep loving God, because I've been through what you're going through, and I'm here as a testimony. And I didn't understand what I was going through, but I understand it today, because it took me some of that to you were going to go through.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
That's how God reveals what our struggles and our sufferings is. That's what Paul said. The sufferings of today don't compare to the glory of tomorrow. Oh, how good it is when you're able to tell someone, baby, I see what you're going through. I bring you that exact same thing. You lost a child. I lost a child. And I was mad at God for 10 years. Because I lost that child, but I gave my life to Christ. I let bitterness go, and I realized that to be absent from the Father was to be present with the Lord, and that child is going on to be with the Lord. And now I have a little bit of understanding about the suffering that I went through, and now I see that you just recently dealt with the same thing, and I'm able to encourage you and hold how good that is to be. That's what it means
But God said that all things work together. See, we don't know it when we go through it. We're all little children. We don't know. Listen, kids, we think we know everything.
See, I put myself with the kids.
We think we know everything. But then, what the old folks just said, just keep living.
Just keep living.
You think you know it all now? Just keep on living. Because once you live by getting another 10, 20 years on your belt, and then you're going to see how stupid you were when you make that decision. You don't want to listen? We're going to just keep on living. Keep on going where you're going. Come see me about 10, 20. We'll revisit. We'll be right back. Friends, the choice is ours. The choice is ours. The chosen ones are called, the chosen ones are justified, and then the chosen ones are glorified. 2 Corinthians 1:20, we close here. The Bible says, for all the promises of God in Him, there is that in Him. All the promises of God that in Him, for Jesus Christ, are yes, and in Him, amen, to what? To the glory of God through us. But friends, the choice is yours. God already made His choice. God has already made His choice. He chose you from the foundation, before the foundation of the world. Before He even created the world, He chose you. Did you know He created the world for you? He spent 5 days creating all creation for His crown creation, which was humanity. Say, so humanity is just a little more than the angels. But I believe that God loves us a little more than the angels. Amen. So we got a little better than angels because He sends the angels to take care of us.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? So God has already made a choice. He chose you. In the bottom line, you can go on either side of those arguments, and you can be saying on either side of those arguments, I'm one that just like to make everything so.
Amen.
Just accept Jesus, and you got all bases covered. Whether you chosen or elected beforehand or not, if you just choose Jesus, then you got it covered.
Amen.
You know, some folks say, well, should you baptize in Jesus' name only, because that's what Peter said, or should you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? I say just do all three. You got all three. You know what's the problem, you know? Or should you baptize in full immersion, or is a couple of speaking your word enough? Well, how do people get baptized? In the river fully immersed. So man, that's the way I'm going. When Jesus went, and why are we fighting and arguing over this?
Amen.
You gotta understand, these are some things when you see all these denominations and churches, these are some of the things that these little simple things that you just break it down and it's real simple.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So when you fall, what I'm saying is you can choose God today.
Amen.
You can choose God today, right now. Everyone standing all over the building. As we prepare